If you are visiting with us, our pastor, David, is, and his wife are at our Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. And so I serve as Director of Missions here for Laclede Baptist Association, but I am a member at Hillcrest and here, so I'm at home, which actually makes it it's always interesting. I preach all the time, but there's something about preaching at Hillcrest. It's like having all my church moms in the pew listening. It reminds me of a story one time. I was served as a director of missions in Lawrence County, which is kind of like Mount Vernon, Aurora, Monette, that area. And I was preaching at a church one morning, and a little boy came up to me, and he said, "Are you our new preacher?" And I said, "No, Brother Kenny's not here." And he said, "Well, did you put him in timeout?" And so David didn't get in trouble. David probably needs some, not that he needs timeout, but he probably wants some time out. So David is not in timeout. But it is an honor, as always, to be able to be before you. I always kind of have to think and just reflect upon the fact of what it is to be a member at Hillcrest here. As I look out, and I like to land here on Sunday nights and wear my blue jeans and just be fed. And I appreciate you all praying for me through seasons of darkness and as we laugh together in times when you're probably laughing at me. But it's a joy. And I think about the fact, too, of serving and being a member of a church where my two pastors are David Brown and Bradley Jeans. I knew David before I knew Bradley. And Bradley and I have known each other since we were in our 20s. Now, Bradley tries to make me 50, and I'm not there yet. And he'll be there 10 days before I am. But to see how life and all that my journey has taken me through and the Lord working in my life, and then to be able to be here and have my pastor, my friend, say, "Hey, can you provide the word?" And just how the Lord brings all of that full circle. I met Bradley when we were in our 20s, and I was preaching at a boys' camp at a camp called Laclede Baptist Camp, and I met a guy, and we sat under a picnic table outside the chapel, and his name was Brad Jeems. And we were younger then. Bradley. Bradley. Sorry, I've been corrected from the spouse. Bradley. Okay. Oh, and he's been with me through so much, and I've shared that with you before. David, do y'all realize what it is for a pastor to provide the in-depth, structured detail that he does for us three times a week? Okay. I've never seen our pastor unprepared. I've never seen our pastor, now some of you may be behind the scenes, you have those moments. I've never seen our pastor act out of order. I've never seen our pastor caught off guard. And that's just the detail that he provides, the structure that he provides week after week does not happen easily or without prayer or without time. And so we here at Hillcrest are so blessed. And so in honor of that this morning, I've got blanks for you to fill out. Now, I don't know if I'll fill them out. And as Bradley and I often say, if you miss a word, just find one that fits. But I have blanks for you to fill out. You know, today we're going to be continuing the aspect from the book of Romans. And a few weeks ago when I was visiting with David on a Wednesday night, Pastor David, I kind of went up to him and I said, "Hey, you know, I know here's what you're doing." And when you're bouncing around, and I kind of stay in touch, I get the bulletin mailed to me, so I kind of know where things are going. But I asked him, I said, "You know, I have some ideas. Do you want me to continue where we're going?" And he preferred that I continue where he was going. And then I thought, oh, great, it's probably the genealogies. But he said it wasn't. So we continue in Romans chapter 5 today as we consider the in-depth book of Romans. And we realize, as this whole series from the book of Romans has been discussing, is God's amazing grace. Amen. Just the amazing grace of our Father. I want to share, even before I read the scripture and pray, I want to share a story with you. And the aspect of being justified we're going to be looking at today. Now, if you go Google justify, you're also going to find a triple crown horse. But I actually did that. I was like, whoa, okay. I didn't. So you Google justify, and a horse is going to come up. But as we look at Romans chapter 5, and we continue what it is to be justified from Romans chapter 4, being justified and the whole aspect of Abraham and that, we think of being justified as kind of one of those big words. Now, you can also justify on a donut on a Friday because it's been a hard week. That's not the type of justification. Now, I'm good at justifying things. It's not the type of justification we're talking about. But being justified is kind of like one of those big church words like grace and mercy and sanctification and glorification, and those words that they each have their own little definition, but when you think about the power of the cross, they all begin to kind of play out and yet merge together. And so this story easily came to mind. Some years ago, I had the blessing of being a foster dad for 18 months to two little boys. One was 4 and one was 6 upon my receiving them. I called him little guy and big brother. And mind you, these two boys had been caught up in domestic issues and were placed with me. And there had been no discipline. It was just kind of a free-for-all in life. And yet they also understood what it was from right and wrong, as I believe we all do. They understood getting in trouble. But life was a chaotic experience for them. They understood anger. Just all those human emotions that we experience. So one day, as I'm in the garage, I hear this, both just kind of come running at me at the same time, this, "Daddy Steve, he did it, he did it, he did it," you know, you parents, okay? Of course, it's kind of a he said, he said. And so I was taken around to my nice little fire pit with a nice little canvas over the fire pit, of a canvas that they thought needed some smoke holes so the smoke could get out of the fire. And it had been punctured with spikes all throughout my canvas pit. And so this conversation begins to ensue of he did it and he did it and this and that. And I said, "Well, I can't blame the one that didn't do it." I said, "Go on." And here's what Big Brother said, "But Daddy, somebody has to get in trouble." And sometimes I think in our own humanness, even as adults, and especially those of us that have a spiritual and Christian understanding, we still think of this guilt that I've done something wrong, and so obviously I have to get in trouble. There has to be a punishment. But isn't God's grace amazing? Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you this morning and as we look at the scripture and we look at the word, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you this morning as we look at the scripture that we can realize that we are justified. That we come into your presence with an access to you. We come into your presence new. That we're able to come into your presence. And so, Father, as we read from your word this morning, let it speak to us. Father, give me a clarity of words. Father, give me a sincerity of heart. And Father, just bless your word, for it is the power. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. To be justified is that aspect in which the Father allows us to live in a freedom from being guilty. I don't know where you are in your journey, and in a room as this, we cover all spectrums of journey in our Christian walk. There are some of you today that you could preach, you could be the one preaching. You could have been the one that David could have said, "I'm going to be gone. I want you in the pulpit, and I want you to present the word." There are some of you, and there is nothing wrong with this. We are all at a different point of journey. There are some of you that you are here today, and you're going to give this church thing a try. There are some of you that you are here today, and you're not mad at God, but you're pretty mad at stuff. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I want to tell you the fact that God loves you, and that in God's presence, there is amazing amazing grace. And as we read from the scripture today, we're going to walk through this and we're going to see three aspects that we need to be reminded of. And each of these aspects point to and remind us of what it is to be justified. It's kind of actually a legal term. And it's the aspect of being able to go before the judge and leave the presence of the judge. And so we read from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and following, in which it says, therefore. Now that therefore means that he said something before that. And pastor has been preaching on that. And that therefore is discussing the fact, if we were just to back up one verse, it says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's the therefore. As in chapter 4, we see Abraham, and we go through this history of Abraham and the Adam and that whole experience. And so when you see one of those connecting verses, it's kind of like also, but, therefore. It means something is transitioning and there's more to come. Because Christ was raised to life, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and that's so key, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, just at the right time, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, whom, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only in this, so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. As we break down this scripture this morning and we consider the three aspects I want us to look at this morning, the first aspect of justification that I want us to think about and to see that comes to us in the very beginning of this is that we can realize the riches of being justified. By the way, as they would say on Sesame Street, today's message is brought to you by the letter R. It just kind of worked out that way, and it's pretty cool. So if you miss a word, just kind of think of an R word. I can realize that the riches of being justified. You know, we kind of, in our Western mindset, when we talk about blessings or riches, we think about a financial, we think about a tangible. But folks, there are so many riches. There is such a richness to what it is to be in the Spirit and the presence and the blood of Christ. And so, first of all, let's just think about it. Let's dwell there for a moment and realize the riches of what it is to be justified. Now, we also have to clarify, and I really didn't put this in the teaching, but it says, since we have been justified through faith. Let's just stop there for a moment. You don't have a blank to fill in. But since we have been justified through faith, that comes nothing from what we've done. That comes from nothing of what we deserve. But only through our faith in Jesus Christ do we find forgiveness. Only through our faith in Jesus Christ do we receive what is there for us. You know, we're really big in our Southern Baptist realm that we're really anti-works. And I kind of like to throw in this little twist. There is something we have to do to receive Christ. And we have to open our hearts to receive Christ. But other than that, it is through faith that we are saved. It is through faith that we find mercy. It is through faith that we receive His grace. It is through faith that we are justified as though it never happened. One of us has to get in trouble. Oh, but in God there is peace. So He tells us, He says, through faith, first of all, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize the riches of being justified when we experience His peace. I tend in my own spirit not to be a peaceful person. Those of you around me, we kind of see each other coming and going, you tend to realize that. But just because in my own spirit I'm not a peaceful person doesn't mean that that's what I cling. I cling to Christ's peace because so much of me needs that peace. Oh, and it's a beautiful peace. As the scripture tells us, it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that doesn't make sense. It's a peace that when I place guilt on myself, I'm forgiven. It's a peace that when I dread what's coming, it's going to take place. It's just going to all fall into place. It's a peace that my sins are forgiven. We have a peace. It's that peace that when you get the bad news or the blanket, or not just the blanket gets pulled out from under you, but the whole house crumbles around you, it's a peace that God's got this. Through our faith, through being justified by faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Comforter, the peace that comes, that peace that we see all throughout the New Testament, that peace that calms the storm, that peace that tells her, peace be still, that peace that we see over and over again, we have that. And Christian, you know, I know, we know that not every day is a hunky-dory donut day. But even in those days when it's not, peace be still. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Be still and know that I am God. We have that peace that only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that when we realize the riches, one of those riches is that we can rejoice in hope. It goes on, it says that through whom we have gained access by faith into grace in which we now stand. We can stand in that peace. We can stand in that power and the access to the King. And it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice in a hope. And I often say this, it's not a maybe hope. Like I hope I get something for Christmas, or I hope I get a really nice gift card for my birthday. But it's a certain hope. I remember, and I use this story often, that at the passing of my mother, I had a cousin that had served, it was kind of serving just kind of as she was a lawyer, and she was just kind of guiding our family and making sure I did what I need to do as I took care of the estate. And so I was in California, Missouri, visiting her and taking care of Mom's final paperwork. And she called me by my nickname, which I won't say. And she says, I want you to take off the sun hat and I want you to put on your preacher hat. Now, my family, and I say this respectfully, but my family is of strong Roman Catholic background. And so my cousin is. And she had been reading a series of just the Christian novels, just the historical novels. And I was really glad to know that. And she says, I'm reading this book, and she said, it's really made me think about some things in my faith journey. And she said, I'm going to ask you a question, and she did, and she asked me, she said, you believe you're going to heaven? I said, yes. She said, don't you feel a bit prideful in saying that? I mean, she was kind of taking the humble approach, like, who am I that can say that I can go to heaven? Who am I? She goes, don't you feel a bit prideful in that? And I said, no. It's nothing I've done, but I walk in the hope knowing that I will. There's a certainty. It's not a maybe. When we talk about a hope in the Holy Spirit, when we talk about a hope in Christ, we rejoice in that knowing that there is a certainty that it shall be. We walk, we rejoice in that hope. Now here's the hard one, and it's not time to go to lunch because Bradley's not ready for you yet, so you got to listen to this one. Though if you're going to dinner, you might get there before your bandanas table fills up. While we rejoice in the hope, we also have to realize this, that we also rejoice in the suffering. And that's a good one to know. Because what that means is it reminds us we're going to suffer. It doesn't say there shall be no suffering. It says we rejoice in the suffering. And so we rejoice in that suffering, not probably because we're suffering, but because we have the hope that we're rejoicing. Kind of how I see that. I've been through some pretty dark times, as you have, and my woe is no bigger than your woe. And we all have those moments. But 5 years ago was a pretty big wow. And I found myself laying under blankets, screaming at God, but knowing God was present. Not throwing God aside, but running to Him. Not mad at God, but hoping for Him. And so many times in our lives, when we get tripped up, or so many times in our lives when life just deals us the blow and the gut punch that we didn't ask for or want, or maybe we were deserving of it, sometimes we bring it on ourselves. In that suffering, I knew God was. I rejoiced in that. And probably in that suffering was probably when I was deeper with God than I had been for years. And isn't that quite ironic? So many times we get mad at God and we want to run from Him, but that is when you run to Him. And we rejoice in our suffering because we rejoice in the hope. And so we realize that. We realize that in that suffering, He is. And Paul goes on in beautiful Paul poetic style to share these words with us. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. I was not giving up. I was not giving up on God. Press on. And so in that perseverance, we realize that perseverance produces character, and character, hope. And we see that chain reaction, and as one leads through another and one builds upon the other, we realize that as we go through whatever it is that we go through, that it makes us more of who God desires us to be, or can. We still have the free will to decide what we're going to do with it. But we persevere, and there is a character. And that hope is played out. We realize the riches of what it is to be justified through His peace, through His hope, and that hope being present through our suffering. Now, the second aspect that we have to look at today, and sometimes we don't want to go there. We like the Jesus loves me part. We like the spirit hug. We like the Savior part. We like the forgiveness part. But the second aspect of being justified is we must face the reason and be reminded of, or we must face the reason and reminder of our being justified. We've got to go back there just for a moment. Now, we don't go back there and dwell. We don't go back there and throw ourselves in the mud pit and say, oh, I'm this horrible, woe is me. But I remember years ago as I was teaching a class and it was dealing with grace, that in order to even more clearly understand God's grace, to even more clearly understand God's power, to even more clearly understand my forgiveness, I have to realize who I was and what He did for me. As the song says, you know, a wretch such as I, and woe is a worm, and all those words, and we're like, oh, don't, that, you know, you're out of that now, you're out of that now. But we've got to remember where we were in order to realize what was done. And so He tells us, and I love this phrase in Scripture. You see, at just the right time, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But yet God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, no one wants to be called you're a sinner. We don't want to be told we're ungodly. But at just the right time, Christ knew, the Father knew and sent His Son as the sacrifice, His one and only begotten Son. And I must face that I am the reason and be reminded of that, that without Christ, I am powerless. Without Christ, I'm ungodly. And I remain a sinner, but I stand forgiven. And we have to realize that. And we need to remind ourselves that. And let me just say, church, sometimes we forget that. And we see the world mess up. Or we see someone, quote, come into the church and they're not doing it right. I stand forgiven. Because at just the right time, Christ died for me. And I once was powerless, but now I'm power-filled. I once was ungodly, but now God dwells within me. I am a sinner, but I am forgiven. And we have to always remind ourselves of that. We have to go there for a moment and realize that. I have to consider my depravity in order to consent His glory. I have to consider my depravity of who I am in my own sinfulness to realize truly the magnitude of what Christ did for me and the glory of that. Because it wasn't just no big deal. It was a big enough deal that a Father sent His Son to die for me. And that's a pretty big deal. And in His time and in His moment, at just the right time, He did that. And I was powerless and ungodly and a sinner. But I stand justified. The third aspect that I want us to consider this morning, as we consider that we realize the riches and we face the reason. And I love this part. And if you tune me out, tune me back in. Is I can rejoice. I can rejoice in the reconciliation that comes through being justified. He says, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? We deserve the wrath. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Paul just has a way of wording things, doesn't he? If you ever have to diagram sentences and you need a final exam, just, pull one of Paul's sentences. I can rejoice in that reconciliation, that being reunited, that coming together, that in which at the separation of my free will, because of man's fall, because of sin, because of a fallen carnal world, we are separated from the Father. But that reconciliation that comes with the Father, because through Christ's death, we do not face the wrath of the Father. And it even tells us, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him. We weren't banished. We weren't sent away. We weren't cut off. But all the more so, the Son grants us access to the Father. And even more so, makes us an heir in the family with the Father. And we are justified. We deserve wrath. We come before the Father as an enemy, but we realize we leave as a child. And I rejoice in that. I realize that Christ became our intercessor. He became our mediator. He became our liaison. He became our liberator. Because He became the sacrifice. Since we have now been justified by His blood, we realize that that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. I am so thankful that God uses me in spite of me. And He does that because He's forgiven me. He does that because I'm justified. I deserve to get in trouble. I deserve to be punished. But He says, not today, son. Not today. Go. Walk. This matter is done. Being justified allows us a new access to the Father. Oh, I still feel guilty, but I don't walk in fear. In my own spirit, sometimes I do walk in fear, but yet I still walk in a hope. It's interesting, in our Christian walk sometimes, and maybe even within, quote, the church, we have this expectation of just the glory days, and every day's just supposed to be a check the marks gold star day. Folks, we know that is not real, is it? But oh, every day there is peace. Every day there is hope. Every day there is strength. Every day there is certainty. Every day there is forgiveness. And while I trip myself up and Satan laughs, God looks down and says, my child, I love you. Today, as we each and all stand before Christ, first of all, we realize the blessing of what that is. We recognize our sinfulness. And at some point, we must realize and come into reconciliation with the Father. And we realize we do that because Christ did that for us already. It's been done. But at some point, you have to accept it. It's been done, but at some point, you have to believe it. It's been done. Salvation has already happened. But at some point, you have to believe it. You have to trust it. Salvation has already happened. Justification has happened. But you have to accept it. And you do that by realizing that it's through Jesus Christ. You do that by realizing, I admit that I am a sinner. You do that by realizing, I believe this Jesus thing. And I need some help. And what I'm trying isn't working. And you believe in a faith, knowing that while I don't understand it all, I need it. And then you commit and you walk in that, realizing that you are forgiven. I'm like that little boy. I deserve to get in trouble. But I'm forgiven. And in the Father's love, and in the Father's voice, and in the Father's command, He says, it's done. Go. walk. And so I want to say that to you today. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. And maybe some of you just need, that encouragement. None of this is a doubt on your salvation, and you're not going there, and I don't want you to go there, but you just need to be reminded, God forgives me. God loves me. God is present. I have His hope. I have His mercy. You just need to be reminded of that. Hear those words. Maybe there is something you need to deal with. Resentment, anger, hatred, sin, addiction, whatever it may be, a hang up in your life that you've never given it over. Or maybe today you need to realize Christ died for you. Maybe today you need to realize you're forgiven. Maybe today you need to realize I can have a hope. Everything that's crushing in on me, there's something there that I'm not given a chance yet. And the Holy Spirit is already pricking you, and the Holy Spirit is already convicting you. And you need to receive that and trust in Him and believe in Him and walk in Him, because you are forgiven and you stand justified before the Father. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, this morning we come to You. Father, I thank You what it is to know Your peace. Oh my goodness. Day in and day out. I thank You that when the walls crumble down and nothing seems to be standing, that Your peace is present. Father, I thank You that in my rage, in my anger, and whatever it is that each of us deals with, that we find Your peace. Father, I pray that Your reconciliation, Father, that in spite of me, You use me, You bring me in through Christ, that I come into Your presence. Through Christ, I find that forgiveness. Through Christ, through that sacrifice of intercessory, that You are there for me. Thank You. Thank You that salvation has happened. Father, I pray for the one today that needs to receive it. For the one today that needs to step out and believe, that needs forgiveness, that needs hope, that needs to know there's something real out there. Father, our week has seen so much suffering. Father, our week, this world has seen so much loss, chaos, hurt. Father, we rejoice knowing that You are almighty and that You are present. And it's in the precious blood and name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.